Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, a mixture of sun and clouds, high around 64. Milwaukee-based Harley-Davidson's financial outlook unchanged for 2017 after the first quarter. The motorcycle manufacturer reporting today, shipments fell almost 15%, though it still moved more bikes than originally forecast. Company says warmer-than-expected weather led to increased demand. Talk last night in Racine about possibly rescinding the vote to fund the Phase 1 study on the proposed event center on the lakefront. But the Common Council, as a committee of the whole, had no recommendation to the full body. Development Director Amy Connolly indicating the study right now about 40 to 50% complete.
Certainly, our investigation started with looking at the property itself and what were the structural and geotechnical issues related to the site. So that data has been collected, and certainly we can reuse that information. We have also been proceeding towards test fit information related to the architecture of the structures that we would be looking to build, and certainly that information could be used for any other developer that would be coming in.
The only public comment about the issue during the regular council meeting from Dennis Monty, disputing all the financial claims made by aldermen, again promising not only a referendum but also threatening recall, stating, quote, "Stop now or we'll stop it for you," unquote. The former Sunshine Market in Racine is still closed at 16th Street and Taylor Avenue. The building itself gets a rezoning designation from the council from community shopping to general residential. Deputy Development Director Matt Sadowski having to explain that that building was targeted, not the attached building, so as to gain control for any future commercial use.
Really what it amounts to is how to better the area. One way to get better control on that property so that we can have better say on what's happening at the property is to put it into the R3 classification so that any new use that comes around for that property would be treated as a conditional use permit.
By changing the zoning, any business, including another grocery store, would not be allowed to have a liquor license. That was part of the problem that led to the Sunshine Market's closure as a nuisance property. The Kenosha City Council last night accepting the recommendation of the License and Permit Committee to renew the license of the First Step Shelter on 63rd Street, but subject to a revocation hearing. Bob Waldrum is a volunteer spokesman for the shelter. He urged the alderman to either approve the license or defer action until a special hearing later on in the spring.
Now, I know many of you are saying, Bob, we've been here before and we've heard this before and we're tired of this seemingly unchanging situation. Well, let me just say, you aren't half as tired about it as we are. Now we are having new players step up to the plate. It's regrettable that it has taken a possible shutdown to convince the public and the government that First Step and the lives who depend on First Step need help badly.
The revocation hearing could begin as soon as next Monday evening. A Pleasant Prairie man charged in Racine Circuit Court, two misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct, accused of jumping into a car, trying to get a ride, and trying to get into a second vehicle. Brian Everton jumped in front of one vehicle in the 2500 block of Spring Street last Saturday, forced the driver to stop, demanded that he be given a ride. Driver said he began to climb inside her car, offering her money to take him where he needed to go. When she said she was calling 911, Everton left the car. Then a second person traveling in the same area said that Everton jumped in front of her car, tried to get inside. She was able to lock the doors, though, and drive away before he got inside. Everton pleading not guilty to the charges, he'll be back in court in May. April 20th, 6 to 8 p.m., UW Parkside's Student Center Cinema, a presentation titled Aging, Memory, and Health of Our Brain, sponsored by the Helen Daniels Bader Fund. The evening to feature Angela Lund, an associate with the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at the Mayo Clinic. Manufacturing being highlighted during the president's visit to the Snap-on Tools facility in Kenosha this afternoon. Among those attending, Gateway President Brian Albrecht, in a statement saying it's an honor to be a part of the president's visit, noting Snap-on and Gateway have a rich history. Governor Walker in Burlington yesterday during a bill signing ceremony noted Wisconsin is a leader in manufacturing still in the U.S., but he said the state needs to build its workforce to stay competitive.
We've got to build the workforce. Overall, we have a shortage of key people, and for key industries, manufacturing is at the top of that list. It's only going to grow in the next 4 or 5 years as the baby boom generation, particularly at that age, retiring, is going to have a dramatic impact on manufacturing, and we're going to need to build off of that.
The president's visit to Kenosha not sitting well, though, with at least one city alderman. It's Scott Gordon, angry at last night's council meeting that the city's aldermen had been snubbed on the visit.
It's amazing, for lack of a better word. Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you making the request for us. to at least get an invite. I know some of us wouldn't be able to make it because of work tomorrow. But this is a sitting president. This is history in the making here in Kenosha. His motto, make America great again. Well, if we're not trying to make Kenosha great again here, what are we doing here?
Gordon calling it troublesome that the show will go on without them. The Racine County Board's Committee of the Whole has a meeting scheduled at 5:30 p.m. with state lawmakers in the Isgrove Auditorium. The agenda says discussion will include transportation funding, personal property taxes, 2017 through 19 budget items, and potential legislation related to county reserves. The Sturtevant Village Board will meet at 6 p.m. at the Village Center. The agenda for that includes swearing in new President Jamie Hoffman and trustees from the recent election. Plaques of appreciation will be going to former President Steve Jansen and to trustee Chris Wright. And Jason Ekman will be considered for appointment to the board as the trustee to replace Hoffman. In Burlington at 6:30, it's the organizational meeting of the Common Council. That will include the oath of office to returning Alderman Bob Grandi, John Schultz, and Todd Bauman, and write-in winner Susan Cott, replacing John Ekus in District 1. Burlington's council president will also be chosen. Racine County Judge Michael Piontek has sentenced 21-year-old Zarell Strong to 2 years in prison, then 2 years of extended supervision for guilty pleas to possessing marijuana with intent to deliver and carrying a concealed weapon. Strong was arrested last year for being the alleged gunman in the shooting of three people outside the Bray Center, but after the better part of a year in jail, video evidence was found to counter that claim. A drug 5,000 times more powerful than heroin turns up in Wisconsin for the first time in the death of a Milwaukee County man, a 48-year-old. The medical examiner's office says it was from a synthetic opioid drug called carfentanil. It's an elephant tranquilizer. The DEA calls the appearance of this drug in Wisconsin disturbing. And the Kenosha Area Convention and Visitors Bureau seeking a few good writers, bloggers actually, to serve on its third version of the community blog team, specifically writers to share favorite ways of enjoying the Kenosha area through the Visit Kenosha blog. Got questions? Call 262-654-7307 at extension 12. Strong writing skills are a must. Some photography skills are also preferred. Anybody interested needs to fill out an application by April the 21st. In Milwaukee Federal Court, Judge J.P. Stadmuller rules that the original ordinance on sex offenders in the village of Pleasant Prairie was unconstitutional. It banned such individuals from living virtually anywhere within the village boundaries, a 19-page ruling that said the restrictions were imposed without using any data to back up claims of harm to residents, instead simply going with local conjecture. Pleasant Prairie leaders approved an amended ordinance, including a reduced zone of prohibition, after nine affected offenders filed suit in federal court. Judge Stadmuller, though, rejected arguments that had rendered moot the claims made in the lawsuit. Village officials now reviewing that decision. Racine's Traffic Commission will be waiting for some additional information ahead of deciding if traffic safety modifications might be needed at the intersection of Lombard Avenue and Erie Street, where cars struck a house twice on separate occasions. Alderman Melissa Lemke said that more than one constituent raised concerns, though, about traffic issues on Erie Street. Commission Chair Charlie French felt that a police department's history of that area would be helpful in determining a course of action.
I guess what I would like to see is maybe just get some police reports from the last few years on what exactly and if they were preventable or not. I mean, my guess is somebody going up on somebody's lawn, something happened. I would think there might have been impaired driving or there were some circumstances that caused it to do that.
City Engineer John Rooney said that a 2013 traffic study of that area suggested no need to create a four-way stop, and the police speed trailer showed really nothing extreme.
Without having to go out there and do manual counts in the AM and the PM, adjust them, for the full-blown 24-hour ADT and do, a full-blown crash analysis and check all the sight lines. And this one does have good sight lines. I've looked at. I've driven this route a million times in my life. I think that's not a bad thing. And if they are truly related to, things that are uncorrectable, and these are uncorrectable crashes, then you'll know.
The request for a traffic study deferred pending more information from the police department. Now, former Racine Alderman Mike Shields did not attend his final council meeting last night due to a death in the family. He was the only incumbent to not be reelected. Recognition of his years of service may still be scheduled at a later date. Tonight's meeting of the new Racine Council has the swearing-in of the aldermen from the odd-numbered districts, including newcomer John Tate II in District 3. And the choice for council president takes on new significance with the eventual resignation of Mayor Dickert this summer. The leader of the council is to become the interim mayor until a special election. Alderman Dennis Weiser indicating he would be seeking the position for a third straight year. A zoning public hearing taking place 6:30 tonight at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. It's a rezoning petition for over 36 acres of land owned by the Library Board, targeted for a one- and two-bedroom multifamily residential development. It's at North Green Bay Road and Spring Street. The land was once considered a potential second library site, but a feasibility study halted efforts along that line. The Mount Pleasant Plan Commission has the rezoning on its agenda for Wednesday afternoon. 7 o'clock tonight, special meeting of Caledonia's Parks and Recreation Commission at the Eastside Community Center. It includes discussion of the recommended sale of that building and the wooded area behind it. The full village board would still have final say. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock in Kenosha County, they're going to recognize the third recipient of the Connie Reyes Award for Excellence in Efforts Against Child Abuse and Neglect. Reyes was a Division of Children and Family Services employee when she was murdered back in 1990 as a result of her job. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.